us to learn from your word as Pastor preaches. Lord, we ask that you bless our services. I pray for each heart that's come here this morning, that you would minister to them and lead them to your truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Have a seat, please. Take your Bibles and turn with me to the 139th Psalm, if you would. Psalm 139. We've already been reminded today of the importance of life and been blessed by the testimony that Cindy gave us, the songs we've sung. As we think about life and liberty, I'd like you to turn to the 139th Psalm. And we think about history, and you look back over the years, and we all know from biblical history that Pharaoh was a cruel and wicked man, was responsible for thousands of Hebrew children's deaths. Think about Herod in the times of the Lord Jesus and how he likewise was responsible for the children who were killed when he was seeking to destroy the Christ child. You think about more recent history and cruel leaders like Stalin and Mussolini and Adolf Hitler, Pol Pot, and others of that ilk. But a lot of times we don't think about how 38 years ago, yesterday, seven of the nine justices in the United States Supreme Court usurped the legislative branch of our government and decided that a pregnant mother could have her baby killed at any point before birth. According to the National Right to Life Association, there have been 52,008,000 babies killed by abortion since the black robe justices gave their permission. All that's required is that the baby be living inside of its mother, that she wishes to have the baby die, and that there is a doctor willing to take its life. Not long ago, an evil father was tried and convicted of murder when his wife delivered a baby, and he in anger threw the baby against the wall in the delivery room, and the baby died. Just a few hours before, if that mother and father had chosen to do so, they could have legally had that baby killed with absolutely no repercussions. If a baby would bring distress upon its mother, produce psychological harm, tax the mental and physical health of its mother by child care, or bring distress because he or she would be an unwanted child, then the pregnant woman may have an abortion. Pro-choice women argue that pro-life men don't know anything about the distress that a baby can bring upon its mother. Many people bring me distress too, but that doesn't give me the right to kill them. Amen? Women should have the right to choose the clothes they wear, the decor they have in their home, the food they eat, the man they admire and would like to marry. They should have the right to choose, but not to choose whether or not their baby can live or die. Remember how the Word of God described the scene when the pregnant mothers of Christ and John the Baptist came together while both of them were expecting. In Luke 1:41, the Bible says, "It came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost, and she spake out with a loud voice and said, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leapt in my womb for joy." I looked up the word babe. It's brephos, an infant unborn, or a babe, a young child, or an infant. Also, remember the telling story when Jacob and Esau were both inside the womb of their mother. The Bible says that Rebekah, his wife, conceived, and the children struggled together within her. The babies inside the womb are children. Sibling rivalry was going on inside of the womb of the mother. Have you noticed how adept the proponents of evil are at word manipulation? They couch their wickedness in terminology which clouds thinking. Favorable and positive terminology conditions non-critical thinkers toward acceptance of what might otherwise be repulsive to their minds. For example, the words pro-choice has a pleasant connotation that we kind of associate with freedom. It implies that one's an advocate for the liberty of women. Abortion, however, is the wrong choice. As Adrian Rogers once wrote, pro-choice is no choice because, as you see on the back of your bulletin, pro-choice allows the taking of innocent human life. Proverbs 6:17 says, God hates hands that shed innocent blood. Many of you heard the name Bernard Nathanson. He was an abortionist. He performed 60,000 abortions in a year and a half time. Then he abruptly resigned from his practice. Why? Because he said, and I quote, I'm deeply troubled over the increasing certainty that I had, in fact, presided over 60,000 deaths. And he became a leader in the National Association for the Repeal of Abortion Laws. Pro-choice allows the taking of innocent life. Pro-choice transgresses the golden rule to do unto others as you would have others do unto you. Pro-choice is fundamentally contrary to human nature and instinct. The Word of God speaks of those who are without natural affection. Pro-choice is rooted in selfishness. Dr. C. Everett Koop, former Surgeon General, states that during his 35 years of practicing medicine, he said, I never once did a case come across my practice where abortion was necessary to save a mother's life. Well, what about incest or rape? We've used these quotes before, but if you look up on the screen, I want to use them again. What about incest or rape? First of all, there's a preacher and his wife who are very, very poor. They already have 14 kids. Now she finds out she's pregnant with number 15. They're living in tremendous poverty. Considering their poverty and the excessive world population, would you consider recommending she get an abortion? Number two, the father's sick. The mother has TB. They have four children. The first is blind. The second one died. The third's deaf. And the fourth has TB. She finds she's pregnant again. Given the extreme situation, would you consider recommending abortion? Third, a white man raped a 13-year-old black girl. She got pregnant. If you were her parents, would you consider recommending abortion? And number four, a teenage girl's pregnant. She isn't married. Her fiancé's not the father of the baby. He's very upset. Would you consider recommending abortion? In the first case, if you did, you've presided over the death of John Wesley, one of the greatest evangelists in the 19th century. In the second case, you've killed Beethoven. In the third case, you've killed Ethel Waters, the great black gospel singer. And if you said yes in the fourth case, you've just declared the murder of the Lord Jesus Christ. Pro-choice doesn't legitimize the choice to have a baby killed. Suppose you have an unwanted guest in your home. She's there by accident. She's overstayed her welcome. Does that give you the right to take her life? Obviously not. Every child, a wanted child, doesn't excuse the killing of unplanned children. It's better to give a baby up for adoption than to give it up for abortion. Amen? Number six, pro-choice is not the answer to inequity among social classes. Some argue that if the law prohibits abortion, the wealthy will still be able to pay to have an abortion, but the poor will be unable to afford an abortion. Abortion isn't just a medical problem just because the physician wields the curette, any more than chemical warfare is purely a problem for pilots because they press the lever releasing the chemical. I think all of us have heard of the case in Philadelphia this past week where abortionist Kermit Gosnell is accused in the death of one adult patient as well as the deaths of seven viable babies. born alive during abortions and stabbed to death with scissors. National Right to Life Executive Director David O'Sheen calls the reports surrounding the case a reminder of the purpose of each abortion. No matter how it's performed, it's to deliberately and brutally take at least one innocent human life. What is choice? In Philadelphia, it's a doctor who ran an inner-city torture chamber where semi-conscious moaning women sat in dirty recliners and on blood-soaked bank blankets. Choice is the house of horrors where 15-year-old high school students administered intravenous anesthesia on patients. After years of preying on poor women, Gosnell and his wife may face the death penalty. A 261-page grand jury report was released last week from the Philadelphia District Attorney's Office, where Seth Williams said his comprehension of the English language doesn't and cannot adequately describe the nightmares detailed inside. The millionaire doctor raked in $15,000 a day, more than enough money to afford clean equipment and a trained staff. But like so many in the abortion industry, his business wasn't about caring for women. It was about profit. Thankfully, the House of Representatives last week, the conservatives that have been elected recently, followed their health care repeal vote with a more targeted attack, legislation to take down provisions that allow for taxpayer funding of abortions was instigated. Anti-abortion legislators introduced the, quote, No Taxpayer Funding for Abortion Act as H.R. 3 on Thursday. The bill intends to prevent federal funding for abortion procedures by codifying the Hyde Amendment, which has long barred federal agencies from paying for abortions. Thank God for that. Amen? That's good news. Life and freedom are inseparably linked. As biblicists, we're pro-life. And I hope if you haven't been pro-life that your mind is open to the Bible's teaching. The Bible is very clear that life begins at conception and that babies are babies inside the wombs of their mothers. I want you to turn to Psalm 139 and look, please, with me at verse number 13. Verse 13 says, For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. We should look at every baby as protected by God. The womb is a very protected environment where God allows a forming baby to develop. He's created that womb for that very purpose. So look at every baby as protected by God. It's only with great violence that an abortion can occur. And then second, look at the next phrase. He said, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knows right well. We should initiate praise for the Creator's design. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. And the more scientists discover about life and the functioning of our bodies and our creation, the more in awe we should be. Our bodies are fearfully and wonderfully made. We should initiate praise for the Creator's design. The psalmist goes on and he says, My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret. We're not an accident, amen? When I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. We need to frame the womb as God's workshop. God creates life. Amen? We believe that we are endowed by our Creator with certain inalienable rights, among which are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, as our founder said. The womb is God's workshop. Just like the heart and soul are created anew in Christ Jesus when we receive Jesus as our personal Savior, so God's the author of human life. He's the creator, amen? We're created in Christ Jesus when we're saved, but when we come into existence, when conception occurs and the baby is forming, God's the creator of that child. And we need to frame the womb as God's workshop. And then he says, Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect in the very formative stages when the baby is just conceived, when those limbs aren't even there, when the body hasn't been fully developed. He said, thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. He's talking about the genetic code, the DNA. Every child is unique. And we need to evaluate children, growing children, from God's vantage point. God is the author of life. He's the giver of life. And no man has a right to take life. President Ronald Reagan, when he was in office back in the 80s, wrote a little booklet that I have in my library. And the booklet's title was Abortion and the Conscience of a Nation. Here's what Ronald Reagan said, and I agree with him wholeheartedly, and I'm sure you will too. He said, we need to join in prayer to bring protection to the unborn. Prayer and action are needed to uphold the sanctity of human life. We will never recognize the true value of our own lives unless we affirm the value in the life of others. We cannot survive as a free nation when some men decide that others are not fit to live and should be abandoned to abortion or infanticide. He said, my administration is dedicated to the preservation of America as a free land, and there's no cause more important for preserving that freedom than affirming the transcendent right to life of all human beings, the right without which no other rights have any meaning. Well said, amen. The right to life, the fundamental right, which we reaffirm today as a congregation, and I hope you do as an individual. Abortion concerns us all because its tolerance in our society tends toward the devaluation of all of our lives. We need to speak up. We need to continue to support our missions program, which includes the Pregnancy Care Center. Our ladies need to continue to have heart and be encouraged and volunteer to work in that center. We need to write our congressmen, our senators. We need to speak up and be vocal and advocates for life. We need to do all we can to encourage life and to support an amendment that would take away the scourge of abortion in our country. But all of us are diminished. The whole idea of infanticide, the whole idea of rationing of health care, all of those things really stem from a low value of life in its earliest form. And we need to stand now and stand today and continue to keep standing until this awful thing is done away with, the thing of abortion. Martin Niemöller said back during the early days of the rise of the Nazi regime. He said, in Germany, they first came for the communists, and I didn't speak up because I wasn't a communist. Then they came for the Jews, and I didn't speak up because I wasn't a Jew. Then they came for the trade unionists, and I didn't speak up because I wasn't a trade unionist. Then they came for the Catholics, and I didn't speak up because I was a Protestant. I wasn't a Catholic. Then they came for me. But by that time, there was no one left to speak up. We should speak up. We should speak out. We should not be intimidated by the manipulative words that are used, pro-choice and others. We need to stand for life, amen? And we need to start by making sure that we have spiritual life. And we'll have the motivation internally. We'll have the fortitude and the courage to continue to stand in a society that in many ways has disregarded the importance and the value of human life. Would you bow your heads with me, please? And as we bow our heads before the Lord, I remind you that Jesus Christ came into the world to give his life so that we might have spiritual life. The Bible says Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. He said, I have come to lay down my life. No man takes it from me. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. Thank God he did that for you. He laid down his life that he might take it again. He laid it down so that he could be your substitute, so that he could pay your sin debt, so that you could be spiritually made alive, so that you could be born again and have salvation. And eternal life is ours when we receive the gift of God in Jesus Christ. I know most everybody here has already done that, but you may be here and you can't look back on a time, a day, a specific instance, a specific time in your life where you said, yes, Jesus, I receive you personally. We're not talking about communion or we're not talking about baptism or confirmation. We're talking about receiving Jesus Christ personally into your heart in an act of faith. If you can't remember a time when that happened for you, when you made that step and took the gift of God, I encourage you right now, make sure that you have peace with God through Jesus Christ. Pray a prayer of faith and take Jesus as your personal Savior. Pray something like this: Dear Lord Jesus, I know you died for me, and I repent of my sin and self-effort, and I turn to receive you as the gift of God. Thank you that you paid my sin debt, that your blood cleanses me, and that you rose again for my justification. I receive you as my Savior right now. I trust you to give me everlasting life, and I thank you for saving me. With our heads bowed, eyes closed, no one looking around between you and me and the Lord Jesus, could you raise your hand and say, Pastor, I prayed that prayer to take Christ as my gift. I took him as my Savior by following you in prayer, and I meant it. Here's my hand as a testimony. Anyone like that? Just slip it up and put it down. Anyone? I know most have already made that step. Perhaps you've been discouraged in the area of being pro-life. It is discouraging to see it continue. But we need to keep on, don't we? Will you make a resolve in your heart right now that you'll not quit standing for life, that you'll faithfully write letters and faithfully pray and actively advocate for life in your relationships? Would you do that? I'm going to raise my hand. Would you join me in raising it and say, I'll keep it up. I'll not stop. Amen. Most every hand. I know that's your heart's desire. Father, we pray that soon there would be a constitutional amendment or whatever is necessary to outlaw abortion in America. We pray for those women who had been mothers, pregnant, and have been abused, as Cindy mentioned, to be convinced that they should allow a doctor to take that little life. Lord, I pray that they would find forgiveness and peace with God, comfort in you. And I pray you'd help us to prevent others from doing the same thing. And I thank you that we can trust you to work and continue to give us your grace to stand for what's right, what we know is true, no matter how many advocate for evil. And Lord, we pray for our nation today. We pray that you'd forgive us our sins and heal our land and help us, Lord, to turn from our wicked ways, that we might be an influence of salt and light and to help in our community. Bless those workers that continue in the Pregnancy Care Center. Bless all of our missionaries and their endeavors to stand for life, both physical and spiritual. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand together. You may have a specific...